We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Have you ever had a moment of revelation? You know, that light bulb, you know what I'm talking about, that aha moment. Maybe it's, for something small, you know what I mean? I know as we get closer to the end of the calendar year, sometimes there's that, I just realized I had more vacation time. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, look at those extra days, you know? Or maybe it's something else, but you have that revelation moment. Sometimes it can be a good thing, right? Sometimes it can be kind of a bad thing because you realize, like, aha, that really was my fault. That really was my mistake, and now I'm going to have to go and own it and ask for forgiveness. Does anyone know what I'm talking about, or is this just me? That moment, that light bulb moment, maybe it's that uncomfortable understanding, or maybe it's that reassuring excitement. Either way, how about this one? Have you ever, had that moment when it dawned on you? You look back at a moment in your life and now see it for what it actually was? That aha moment, maybe for the first time you realize that, maybe God really was in that then. Maybe that actually, that was God's intervention in my life, even though at the time I was just frustrated. I didn't understand it. I felt like I was just running in a hamster wheel, but God was stalling and delaying me from getting what I thought was best because it would have destroyed me. You got mad because he never offered you that ring, but now you see who he is and you're glad you ain't married to him. Woo! You know what I'm talking about. God interventions, church. That's what I'm talking about. God interventions. Things that at one point we thought were happenstance or coincidence, but now you have that without a doubt moment. That was God intervening in my life. Yes? And whether it was yesterday, last year, 2 decades ago, those moments come to us and we realize and see them for what they really are, that light bulb moments. Maybe at first you were denied you got that, you didn't get that job, that promotion you were praying for, that open door that you thought was going to be best for you. And after all, you know what's best for you, and your prayer told God he needed to open that door for you. And little did you know, 6 years down the road, you are now in a better position, a better job opportunity, a better situation, because if you went that way, you never would have found this door. But yet God knows what's best for you even when you think you know what's best for you. Hello. I'm talking about those without a doubt moments when you look back on your life and you say, that was God. But what do we do with those without a doubt moments? Because if we're honest with ourselves, whether it was a good moment in our life, or whether it was a bad moment, revelation moment, you know what I'm talking about, where you're like, I need to change that. That revelation came. Either way, if God was in it was for our benefits. You believe that? If God was in it was for our benefits. But really what I want to focus on is, what do we do with those without a doubt God moments? What do we do when we realize God was in something? Do we just take a mental note of it for future reminders? Okay, God, I guess I won't do that again. Okay, God, I'll remember how you did that for future. You know, I call it, you know, nowadays we do the screenshot on our phone. You know, I just call it, the mental screenshot where you just go, okay, I'll remember that later. You know, blink real hard. Okay, I'll remember that later. Is it just for me alone? Am I supposed to do something with that without a doubt moment? We're going to dig into a moment in Peter's life where we see he had a without a doubt God moment. But we're also going to see what he did with it. You ready to follow along with me? Acts 12, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. So let me just stop for a minute and help you understand. So Jesus has come, he has taught, He has healed. He has now gone to the cross. He has died. He has risen again. He is now with the Father. He has now employed the church to be the church. And now the church is going out, commissioned to do all that God had called them to do. And now, after this time has happened, we're seeing some of these Christian leaders actually being persecuted and martyrs for the cause. And King Herod now realizes that the Jewish community seems to be for this. And he's going, okay, they were okay with me killing this guy, because why? Now you might go, why on earth were the Jews wanting to see this happen? Well, because there were so many of them that did not see Jesus as the Messiah. They didn't have the revelation. So they believed this guy, this Jesus, this carpenter, this Nazarene, this man from Nazareth, that he was just creating an uprising that was trying to overthrow an old way of doing things. Right? And so the Jews were okay with what King Herod was doing, but how many know God wasn't, because God was in it? Hello. Sometimes you got to be careful to make sure you're following the right people, make sure they're hearing from God, that they don't miss it, right? But anyway, so it says that Peter was seized also, and this happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. That's a lot of people to watch one dude who's not violent, who is just kind of helping create a spiritual revolution. But I'll tell you, the enemy is afraid when people start finding purpose. Not any purpose, but God-ordained purpose in their life. When the enemy sees that you are actually no longer a bystander, but active in affecting change in the world for God's sake, he gets scared. And then he overshows his hands. Hello. You may feel like the world's against you. Maybe it's because you started doing something for Christ's sake. Right? And so Peter, he's going and doing all the things God's called him to do, and all of a sudden he hits an uprising. He hits this friction. He hits this point where not only was he arrested, now he's got four squads of four guards watching a chained man in prison. Little overkill. So Peter was kept in prison. It says Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Let me tell you this, church. We need to continually pray. We need to lean in. And not just about your problems, about the problems you see in the world, the problems you see happening to those in leadership, the problems that you see. You need to be earnestly praying, because God is looking to intercede if there are people willing to pray. God is looking to make a change and make a difference, but it's going to come on the back of our action and faith, believing God will do it. Yes? So they were earnestly praying for God, praying to God for Peter. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, basically the night before he was going to have him killed, right? Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. That doesn't sound very comfortable, by the way. It's like, couldn't you just be like, wake up, I'm here. It struck him on the side. I'm just saying, some of you guys think that God is like so gentle all the time, right? It struck him on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. The chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, and he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And then they went through it. When they had walked the length of the one street, suddenly the angel left him. Poof! Disappeared. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, and also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it. Hard to find good work, that's what I'm saying. And she exclaimed, what? What did she say? She said, Peter is at the door. And you can just hear, like, you know, this isn't just anyone. It's probably some, like, old man, like, you're out of your mind. They told her when she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hands for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said. And then he left for another place. He had something else on his mind to continue to do. I want to talk to you with the little time I have today about there are so many keys to what we should be doing with our aha, God, without a doubt moments. Oftentimes we take them and we file them for ourselves, but that's not what God's called us to do. Have you ever had this inclination? Have you ever had this understanding, this revelation that maybe God didn't do this just for me, even though I had immediate benefit? Maybe what God is doing in my world is meant to have an overflow, the cup running over. The cup overfloweth. Holy Grail? No. Okay. Listen. In this moment, Peter's understanding that God has done something amazing. And he knew that there needed to be something more than just filing it away mentally. But let me just break down a few things that we need to understand from this scripture and from this story. Number one, we don't always know when God is intervening. We don't always know. Can I tell you? God is at work. We sing these songs even when I don't see it. I know that he's working. Even when I don't feel it, I know that he's working. God is always working. Have you ever been around one of those ultra creative types that are just, they're always doing something. They've got not a weird energy, but they've got this creativity and they're looking to continue to do something and this and that. I see God as an ultra creative God because he made all of us. He's got a great personality because he made you. But listen, God is always looking to intercede. He's not wanting to sit on his hands. He's wanting to see if people will have faith to believe him for the ultimate, right? And so God, he's intervening, but we don't always know when God is doing it. It said in 12 verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. How often in our life do we see things and we're kind of like, oh, that was coincidence. Oh, look at how that happened. Oh, I love how this just, we don't understand that God is already intervening. I was recently having a coffee with somebody as a part of our church family, and we're talking. He's from the Midwest, and God's just done some amazing things in his life the last couple years. And he had his whole world planned out. He knew which college he was going to go to. He knew what he was going to be doing with it. And as all of that was being put into place, he decided to take a trip to New England with his mother. And when they got here, he then realized, wait, maybe there's something to this. He changed all of his plans. He went to a college around here. He ended up finding his wife here. He now has a beautiful child here. And in this conversation, he's going, I didn't see it, but now I know God was in it all. God was directing me. God was leading me. God's hands, his fingerprints were on it all. And I didn't see it until recently. You know, you don't see everything in the moment, and that's okay. But no, God is working even when you don't know. God is already intervening. So number one, we don't always know when God is intervening. Number two, sometimes things will seemingly open by themselves, but it was really God. Look what it says. Acts 12:10. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and it opened for them by itself, and they went through it. See, when things seemingly work themselves out, often God was in it. When things seemingly just open, when opportunities just show themselves, when chains finally break, and when things fall into place, I'm telling you, God was in it. I have a lot of coffee stories. I was at a different coffee shop. It's a real thing, by the way. And I walked into this coffee shop and I was all disheveled because it was, you know, morning. Anyone know when it's morning and you have not had coffee yet and you're trying to work through it all? And anyway, so I go up and it's a different coffee shop that I normally go to. And I like to sprinkle the bread upon the waters. Right? And so I go to this other coffee shop, and as I'm there, and it's weird because normally I don't have my whole family with me in the morning at this point. And we're all there, and this woman goes, "Oh, you're that person from that Metro church." And I said, "Oh yeah, you know," and I'm a little disheveled, and I'm kind of, "Where are we going with this? Do you like me? Do you not? What do you feel about the church? Am I, you know, how, what's going on?" And so as we're talking though, she kind of was like, "Oh, what a coincidence." And I was like, I had to stop her, and I said, "I know, it just seems like a coincidence, but I don't come to this coffee shop, and the fact that we're here means God's trying to do something. So just know, whatever you feel like God is trying to tell you, he probably is trying to tell you that, because I don't come here." I've had to grow into that. It's not like I'm that bold normally, okay? I've had to grow into that. But this person, she knows someone from the church. And Nasha, wherever you are, go talk to that friend. But listen to this. These moments we think are coincidence. These moments we think just fell into place. This like, "Oh, hey, you're here too? Okay, God, what are you trying to do?" You see what I'm saying? And so we don't always know when God's working, but he is. And when things seemingly fall into place, God was there. Look for his fingerprints. Look for the traces of God to recognize when he moves in your world. See, you know when the Bible talks about how it's good for the right hand not to know what the left hand is doing, and to bless people, but don't do it to be noticed as a blessing, and all these things? That didn't come from nowhere. God also likes to be sneaky in the way that he blesses us. He wants us to have to search him out, because it's a wooing in relationship. Come on, go back to when that time when that guy was wooing you, and he was leaving roses on your car, and he was leaving little notes, and you're like, "Ah." You know, God is wooing us, and he's doing little things, and if we would look, we'll find his fingerprints on it, and we'll feel like, "Man, he cared enough to do that. That seems so small, but he was still there." Hello. Number three, God will only intervene when and where we can't overcome. This point isn't about striving to be self-made. It's not about trying to create some self-reliance. This point is not to bring you down a road where you're forcing to make it happen on your own. It's helping you understand that God isn't going to show up and provide a way when it's within your capabilities to move forward. Someone just needed to hear that again. God is not going to show up and make a way when it's within your capabilities to stand up, get up, move forward in faith. I'm trying to drive home a point here. And the point is that God provided a miracle moment for Peter when there wasn't any other way. Right? What does that mean? So many times we pray for miracles, but they're just lazy prayers because we don't want to get up and do it ourselves. They're not going to come back. You need to be nicer. Listen. God wants to help you, but he wants you to help you too. He gave us not a spirit of fear, right? He gave us so much to work with. Don't expect him to show up and drop the miracle when actually he's asking you to stand up and live the life he called you to live. What am I saying? We want God to provide us manna from heaven when he gave us seed to go plant in the ground. We want manna now rather than waiting for harvest season. We want that woe man or that man now, even though if they came around, they wouldn't be attracted to what they saw because you haven't worked on you. Why is it that we always want someone better than us? Let me just go there for a minute. We always joke and talk about marrying up and like, "Oh, I married up." No, that was God's grace on your life. But the reality is this, we always want somebody, "I just can't wait for a man that has faith." It's like, well, where's your faith? Because you're going to attract what you are. You're going to attract what you respect. You're not going to attract what you want. We always want God to show up and bring the miracle. "God, I want that miracle man." Well, work on yourself. Understand you attract what you are, not what you want. Okay, that was for somebody because that wasn't in the first experience. Somebody just keep looking straight and ain't nobody know it's you. I was somewhere. I'm coming back. See, God will show up, but he wants you to work hard and do your parts. if you do what you can do by toiling the ground and planting the seed, you can expect God to do what you can't do by bringing the rain. Some of you are praying for rain, and you haven't sowed any seed. Some of you are expecting God's blessing and miracle over no seed. God, I want to see you raise and give me increase. And he's like, well, you're not even faithful with the first 10. Where's that promotion, God? Well, where's my 10th? People are like, oh, I don't like him. I would rather you not like me, but live God's principles and find blessing because I was willing to tell you. See, you think God's not active in your world. He's just waiting for you to get active yourself so that he has something to bless. Okay, I'll keep moving. So look at what the scripture says. It says Peter, as he was in prison, he could not get out. Remember, he had the overkill, 4 guards, 4 times over, watching him. He couldn't even sleep in the prison without being chained between prison guards. Okay? So when you start to understand this, God provided a miracle intervention with the angel, right? Breaking the chains, leading him out of the prison beyond the guards, opening the gate of the city, and then what? Suddenly, poof! The angel left him. How many times God's doing something amazing and we feel all of this push and we know that, man, the wind is in our sail and we know that God's moving on our behalf and we're like, yeah, this is awesome. God, where'd you go? That was awesome. That was sweet. Where'd you go? Huh. Because that's what happened to Peter. It says, suddenly the angel left him. And here's what you need to understand. God did what Peter couldn't, but then said, you got it from here. The angel disappeared. The amount of times we're like, oh no, just come on, let's hang out here. Let's just keep doing it. You keep doing it while I just kind of keep walking. You keep doing it. And God's going, no, I did what you couldn't do, but now you got it. So number 3, God will only intervene when and where we can't overcome. Number 4, we need to identify our without a doubt God moments. We have to identify those things, right? Because Peter, it said, then he came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. It says Peter came to himself. He had an awakening moment and realized what God had really done for him. In a season when we need to count our blessings, let's not take this opportunity and waste it. Let's realize what God has really done in our life. Let's go back and identify the God moments, those aha light bulb moments where we're going, God was on that. I see his fingerprints now. Right? We just entered this season where many around the world will focus on gratitude and gratefulness. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. May we as believers in Christ, sons and daughters of God, be able to identify his goodness and intervention in our life. Let's be people that stop and thank God for what he has done. Yes? There's 2 people excited about that idea. Okay. May we be people like Peter, who said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has, ... you fill in the blank. Because what God did for Peter may not be what God's doing for you right now because your situation's different. And like I said before, I don't know if it was in this service or the other, I'm telling you, I have all sorts of issues when it comes to that stuff. Like, did I say that yet? Listen, sometimes God does something different. You may have the same problem as someone else, but God does, his answer is different for you. Why? Because his answer is never only for you. Why? Because his answer is never only for you. What does that even mean? What it means is that the way in which his transportation device for his gifts in your life are just as important as the gift. How he said what he said, how he did what he did is just as important as what he did. Why? Because there's something you can take out of it. Uh-oh, we're going to go there. I'm sorry. Maybe the reality is God didn't give you that blessing or that gift or that answer for 18 months because you need to learn patience. Yeah, I did. Maybe it happened right over there for that person way quicker because they don't have the problem you have and you need to learn through the process. Yes.
Whew. I just like when people like me. I'm so conflicted. We got to be like Peter. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has done X, Y, or Z for me. Right? We can't see it as coincidence, even though we thought it was coincidence. Opportunities and doors that just seemingly open by themselves, just like that gate. Oh, now I see God's fingerprints all over it. It dawned on me. I had an awakening moment when I looked back. And that time I was so frustrated when I saw those doors close. No, now I know that was God's protection for my future. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll thank God more for the no's than the yeses. Because it says that we're going to have knowledge. I always joke about being like, I got so many questions. When we get in God's presence, he don't have time to answer our questions. We're just all going to know. We're just going to be like, ah! You know, Matrix download. Ah, I know how to fly a helicopter now. Too bad I didn't know that then. Whatever. The whole point is simply this. We're going to have all understanding. And when we have the understanding, we're going to realize we're more thankful for the no's he gave us than the yeses. Someone needs to hear that because they're in a no season right now. But more than just understanding that was God, what are we doing with our without a doubt moments? Number five, without a doubt moments must turn into thank you God stories. They can't just be filed away for our personal benefits. They can't just be, you know, one of the things that we remember in the Old Testament is that whenever God did something amazing, they'd make an altar there. They'd pile a bunch of stones there. And it wasn't just so that they would remember God did something there. It's so that as they walked by it, the kids would go, "What's this pile for, Dad? Mom, what happened here? God clearly did something here. What happened here? Oh, this is the place where God split the Red Sea for us and we were able to cross on dry ground." See, when God gives us aha moments, we need to share that with somebody else because it actually is going to build faith for God's goodness in their life as well. Are you getting this? So when it dawns on us that God has showed up for us, we need to do something with that. It needs to turn into a thank you God story. It says when this had dawned on him, he went. Where did he go? To where all the people were. The angel's gone. And he's like, what do I do now? That was awesome. I got to tell somebody. So he goes and he knocks and he knocks. He's not going to give up until he tells somebody. As soon as the angel left him, he said, okay, God, I understand what you did for me. Now I'm going to do this for you. How often do we actually immediately look at what we can do for God after he did something for us? He had a without a doubt moment. When it dawned on him, what did he do? When he identified the moment and realized it was God, not just a vision, Peter went and shared the testimony, the story of God's goodness. Do you realize the Bible tells us how we overcome our adversary? He tells us how we beat the devil. And he gives us 2 points. Know what it is? By the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? Over 50% of this is something you didn't do at all. You just get to receive because Jesus did it. His perfect spotless blood that was given on the cross makes us overcomers. Right? The other part of it, I don't think it's really 50-50, but the other part of it is the testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What is the word of our testimony? It's us speaking of our thank you God stories. It's us talking about when we had trials and tests and a lot of moaning that turned into goodness. And that's the testimony that we share with people. Why? Because people need to know how God can really do something for them in a way that they see is possible for them because it was possible for you. The devil is so scared of your thank you God stories going viral that he makes you insecure and he makes you anxious and he tells you your story doesn't matter and he tells you your story won't help anybody and he minimizes what God magnified. But Pat-a-Chat, I want to share. I just don't get the opportunity. Well, that leads me to my final point. Number six, be bold and create opportunities to share of God's goodness in your life. Be bold. Our God is the creator of all things. He created the universe. Before there was ever the thought of a metaverse, he created a universe. TED Talk. You didn't get that one yet. It's okay. Listen, God, he wants you to create the same way he creates. He wants you to find the opportunity and make a way. It says, but Peter kept on knocking. She went away, remember? She's like, ah, she got excited and left. Hard to find good help. But listen, he kept on knocking until the door was opened, and then he motioned and silenced everybody in their amazement so that he could create the opportunity to talk of God's goodness. He was persistent to share it. He encouraged them to pass it on, and then he continued to go to another place to share it again. Well, an opportunity didn't open up for me. I sat in community group all night just waiting for a pause. But you know Jill, she won't stop talking. You know Steve, always has a story. Be persistent. Create an opportunity to share God's goodness. If it was big enough for you to notice, it is important enough for you to share.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.